Robert Brackett Elliott turns 85 next week, and if you were near a radio starting in the mid-1940s and continuing through the 1980s, you will smile when I tell you that it's Bob of Bob and Ray who's going to get the first piece of birthday cake. Bob and Ray, the late Ray Goulding, were the funny diamonds in radio's golden days. Later, they brought their act to television. They created comic characters with names like Wally Ballou and Harry Backstage, who never got laughs through naughtiness or meanness or anything except good old-fashioned gags. Bob Elliott joins us from his home in Manhattan. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Everybody has a favorite Bob and Ray routine. And Ray, by the way, was his full name since we mentioned yours. He was Raymond Walter Goulding. Alas,
right.
He died in 1990.
Right.
But since we all have these favorite routines, I know this is a cruel question, but what was yours?
Oh, so many. We were on so many hours, and Wally Ballou, Man in the Street, and the Slow Talker, and the Komodo Dragon Expert.
Would you tell us a little bit about the Komodo Dragon, Doctor?
Happy to. The Komodo Dragon is the world's largest living lizard. It's a ferocious carnivore, found on the steep-sloped island of Komodo, in the Lesser Sunda chain of the Indonesian archipelago, and the nearby islands of Rinja, Padar, and Flores.
Where do they come from?
You were Wally Ballou, weren't you?
Oh, yes.
Can you still do that voice?
Well, I think I sound like him most of the time, but he never came on as Wally Ballou. He was always Lee Ballou. As if the engineer had not turned his mic on in time.
As if
I made enemies of engineers from coast to coast. But he just talked a little more nasal than I do, and I've tried to tone my broadcast down so we sound pretty much alike.
You sound amazingly like Mr. Ballou. Yeah. I have to tell you my favorite routine, and I'm amazed that I've been able to hold in my excitement until this very moment. It is, can you guess? I'll give you a clue. The Slow Talkers
of America. The
of the S T O A.
What does that stand for?
The Slow Talkers of
America.
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 We believe in forming our statements, ideas.
Do you know how crazy you were driving your listeners?
Carefully, I know. And myself.
Yes, I'm sure. Tell me something. Your son, Chris Elliott, has become pretty well known. He does comic turns himself. He was in the movie There's Something About Mary. And you appeared with him in the film Cabin Boy. Do you see yourself, your influence in his performance?
Well, to some extent. The fact that he does most everything, I think, off the cuff, but what he does is a new generation of humor, I think. But like music, it's changed over the years, you know. If we auditioned today, I don't think we could get a job.
Why do you think that?
Because the audience for humor is, I think they're more tuned to one-liners, political stuff, not the character build-up that we had the time to do when we had a show. I mean, we were filling time, basically, and the longer we could make a bit, and hopefully with a good ending, the better it was.
Yeah.
But I don't think people stand for that now.
But you've just explained to me the secret of the Slow Talkers of America Association. You needed to fill time.
Well, probably, originally, yeah.
I bet. Thank you so much. Bob Elliott, the Bob of Bob and Ray. He turns 85 next Wednesday. Happy birthday
Doesn't
to you,
seem
Mr.
Possible.
Elliott.
Thanks very much, Susan.
And listen, could you please do your signature sign-off with me? I will be Ray. This is
okay.
Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
Full versions of Bob and Ray routines at NPR.org, where you can also subscribe to At Your Leisure, our podcast.
Austin, Texas just wrapped up a week-long stint as host of South by Southwest. My, how it's grown from the crunchy music of festival that started 21 years ago into something with hundreds of bands. Now there's film, and don't forget that interactive media. Full team NPR coverage has included critics' reviews, perspective from a musician-turned-NPR blogger, all the lowdown on the Twitter crowd from South by Southwest Interactive, and, of course, plenty of live music. NPR arts reporter Netta Ulubi was there to take it all in.
There are 1,500 bands here in Austin, probably more, and they're playing in dozens of clubs all over downtown. And you know something? They all run together after a while.
Do you know who we're seeing?
I have no idea who we're seeing right now. I wish I could tell you, but they look like they're pretty good. Maybe.
Okay, some bands are total standouts. I'm at a bar downtown right now called Stubbs, and I'm meeting rock critic Ann Powers, a personal hero of mine. She writes for the LA Times, she used to work for the New York Times, and she's turning me on to an act called Santa Gold.
I love them.
Are we on tape?
Yeah, do you mind?
Well, I think that Santa Gold is going to be the talk of the festival. I wish there were a few more people here, but her new record that's going to come out this year, or soon, pretty soon, people are calling it a combination of MIA and Karen O, but that doesn't really do justice to her own thing. Plus, if you could see the background dancers with their white sunglasses and their kind of, you know, Robert Palmer girl meets jump rope ring thing, it's pretty cool.
At this point, I just have to say that Ann Powers is wearing a red dress and she's jumping up and down while taking notes. One of her favorite moments this year was seeing a collective of independent musicians, most of them really well known, who performed together under the name Body of War.
Phil Donahue was moshing in the pit.
I'm not even kidding. As for me, I enjoyed She and Him. That's more famous people singing together. One is the actress Zooey Deschanel, and she is performing with the musician M. Ward. I am suspicious of singing actresses, but she's totally charming.
Why do you let me stay here?
Okay, finally, Liam Finn is New Zealand folk rock royalty, if you can imagine such a thing. His dad helped start the band Crowded House, and he's known for doing things like shucking off his guitars and leaping from instrument to instrument with wild abandon. So he's on stage with one other musician, and after performing two absolutely lovely songs, they decide to do something completely weird.
About 3 minutes. Should we do a quick song, or should we just have a three-minute psychedelic tribal jam? Yeah, right, tribal chant. Boom, doom, chuck, don't buy shave, boom, 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 chuck, chuck, pa, ha, boom, doom, chuck, don't buy shave, boom, boom, chuck, chuck, pa, ha, boom, doom, chuck, don't buy shave, boom, chuck, chuck, pa, ha, boom, chuck, don't buy shave, boom,
That was a postcard report from NPR's Netta Ulubi on the streets of Austin, Texas. One final nugget of South by Southwest. If you're feeling the need to reminisce, you can check out the BPP's coverage at npr.org/Bryant Park. You get to hear a ton of live bands from REM to My Morning Jacket. It's all at npr.org/music or our site, and we'll link you on through.
Okay, we've always had fictional heroes who can single-handedly save us from the bad guys, like the Lone Ranger.
Are you still there?
Make the sign of the sea.
It's Superman!
Yes, it's Superman!
But those heroes were so 20th century. The 21st century has its own fictional hero. He's a ruthless counterterrorism agent who fights the clock to protect the nation. As part of our series In Character, NPR's Pam Fessler explores why Jack Bauer of the Fox TV show 24 has fans across the political spectrum.
What is it about Jack Bauer that's so appealing? He's always yelling.
Damn it, Chloe, just do it now!
Or torturing people, including his own brother, who admittedly was a bad guy.
I will take this to 7 cc's. You will experience a pain I can't even describe. At 8 cc's, I run the risk.
People say they admire Jack Bauer because of one thing. He's committed to saving the United States from attack. And he's willing to risk everything, his life, those he loves, the Constitution, to succeed.
In a world in which we think that so much is out of control, it is incredibly satisfying to watch a human being who is so completely in control.
Robert Thompson teaches television and culture at Syracuse University. He has to watch TV for a living. But he says he looks forward to the vicarious thrill he gets watching Jack Bauer cut down the bad guys. Thompson thinks Bauer is the quintessential hero for a post-9/11 world, an escape valve for a sometimes frustrated nation.
If real life in the war on terror, we are not going to be able to kick the enemy's butts in noticeable ways, then we are going to demand to see the enemy's butt kicked in our fiction.
We're not here to take anybody down. Just want a little information.
24 premiered right after 9/11, but Jack Bauer's character was created before the attacks. Bob Cochran, one of those creators and the show's executive producer, says it was always the plan that Bauer, played by Kiefer Sutherland, would be the type who'd slice through the bureaucracy to do what had to be done.
The notion that was on our minds was, here's a guy who, although he's flawed and makes mistakes, he's uncompromising.
And Jack Bauer makes that clear in the first episode as he directs his chief of staff, Nina Myers, to check out a suspicious superior.
Nina, you can look the other way once, and it's no big deal. Except it makes it easier for you to compromise the next time, and pretty soon that's all you're doing is compromising because that's how you think things are done.
Cochran was thinking good drama, that Jack Bauer's stubbornness against the backdrop of an impending attack would make for interesting TV. And it does. But it's also helped sharpen a real-life political debate. The show has both liberal and conservative fans, including top members of the Bush administration, Vice President Dick Cheney and Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff, to name two. Chertoff says he sees parallels between the difficult choices Bauer has to make and the real fight against the terrorist threat.
He knows sometimes there's only bad choices and you've got to make the least bad choice. And then he does it and he takes responsibility for it. And I think that's in many ways something that the public values. And frankly, it's something that I think is great aspiration.
But it doesn't mean you agree with everything that you enjoy. This is pure escapist entertainment.
That's Barry Steinhardt, a top official with the ACLU. In real life, he fights many of the choices Chertoff has made. But like Chertoff, he's also a huge 24 fan. Steinhardt says it reminds him of the cowboy movies his grandmother took him to when he was 5, when the hero would rush in at the end and save the day.
But the difference between being 5 and 55 is at 55, hopefully you learn that the lone cowboy mode doesn't work. It doesn't either protect us, and it certainly doesn't protect our civil liberties.
Take torture, for instance. Steinhardt points out that when Jack Bauer does it, it always seems to work.
Well, in the real world, torture doesn't work.
Don't be a smartass. Who was his supplier?
Who was his supplier? Chase!
How seriously should one take Jack Bauer? The dean of West Point was so concerned that some cadets took him too seriously that he visited the producers of 24 in late 2006. He asked if they could tone it down a little to make Jack Bauer's violent tactics not quite so effective. Bob Cochran says the show's producers took the comments under advisement, but that little has really changed. He says it is, after all, just a TV show.
I think the Army is responsible for training its own people. We're not. And they should be able to explain the difference to their own people between fantasy and reality.
And he says it's not like Jack Bauer isn't bearing a cost for his actions, a cost that creates the kind of tragic storyline that keeps an audience engaged.
What happened over time was Jack Bauer found himself paying a higher and higher price in his personal life for doing the things that needed to be done in his professional life.
You're cursed, Jack. Everything you touch, one way or another, ends up dead.
That's the fictional Secretary of Defense telling Jack Bauer to stay away from his daughter. Over six seasons, Bauer has lost just about everyone he's close to. His wife was murdered. He's estranged from his daughter. He even killed his longtime buddy Curtis to stop him from derailing a mission. And Stephanie Romanski loves every minute of it.
He's duty-bound, honor-bound, the whole shebang.
Romanski lives in Grand Island, Nebraska. She's the creator of 24addict.com, one of the many, many fan websites devoted to Jack Bauer and 24. Her homepage has a picture of Bauer holding a gun, looking off into the distance with a steely glint in his eyes. Like she says, he's ready to save the world again. I ask if the thousands of people who visit her site seem bothered that we don't really have a Jack Bauer to save the day.
Who's to say that we don't? I mean, maybe there is a Jack Bauer out there, or maybe there is a team out there, you know, kind of dedicated to making sure that we stay safe. I want to believe that.
And clearly, so do many others.
You know those guys I blew the whistle on? You think they were the bad guys? Because they weren't. They weren't bad guys. They were just like you and me. Except they compromised. Once.
Pam Fessler, NPR News.
You can tell us which characters helped to shape your life, or maybe threaten to pull out your fingernails if you didn't change your behavior. Tell us on the In Character blog at npr.org/in-character, because your essay could end up on the radio. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
Good morning, I'm Renee Montaigne. The most popular video on YouTube has no lip-syncing Chinese teenagers, no babies falling over, no drunk cats. No, at the moment, it's Barack Obama's speech on race. So far, the Obama speech has been clicked on 1.6 million times, though it's not possible to tell if viewers watched all 37 minutes. There are also more than 4,000 comments ranging from awesome to no, we can't to Barack to the future.